This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 415, recorded Wednesday, October 24th, 2018, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Woo-hoo!
So, it has been yet another week. And we're once again back to talk about Android, home automation, and whatever else we get onto the topic of, as long as we keep basically on the topic.
Yes.
Just to remind you, next Wednesday evening, I will not be available.
Oh, noes!
So, if you would like to record the podcast another time, I am available on Tuesday night. Or Wednesday morning. But if not, then I would not be able to record that day.
I think Tuesday evening will work.
Okay. The usual times?
Yes.
So, we will be back with a show that will be released on Tuesday evening. So, other than that, I was very busy in the home automation front. I forget.
What'd you do?
Did I install my new light switch before last week's episode or after? Did I tell you about installing a new light switch?
Yes, you did.
Okay. So I told you that I wired it up or I bought it. I can't remember.
But you wired it up.
Okay, so that must have been last week. Things blend together after a while. So today, my two Wi-Fi enabled fan controllers showed up because I'm getting a little annoyed again with Zigbee and Z-Wave.
Sure.
Zigbee is working fairly reliably right now, except for a few devices or except for a few light bulbs. But I'm still having trouble with reliability, whereas I've never had a Wi-Fi reliability problem. So I have to see if these two items that I ordered on a slow packet from China can be flashed with alternative firmware and added to my system. So I'm going to basically try to power them up without installing them.
Yeah.
And then try to see if I can flash firmware onto them. Now, reading the instructions, that might be harder than some of the other items I flashed firmware on. I might have to get creative. But on a positive note, I figured out how to flash firmware using a serial controller. Which is good. let me rephrase that. Using a serial controller and not having to solder on headers. It involves holding the serial controller onto the item with your hand while your other hand is attempting to flash it.
You're kidding, right?
No. Why would I kid?
All right.
What's funny about that?
No, it's fine.
Why would you want to solder on a header just that you're not never going to use after you flash the firmware on? Despite the fact I hate soldering, but
oh.
No, I'm just asking that realistically.
No, you're fine.
Why would you want to solder something that you're never going to use after you solder it?
Okay.
Especially,
I mean, I'd be worried that my hand would slip and then I'd corrupt everything.
That's why I taped it.
Why did you tape it if you were holding it with your hand?
I put tape. Basically, I put the pins on. I put a piece of tape on and I applied pressure with my hand. So the tape would keep it in place and the hand would be keep the tape in place.
Okay.
I took extra precautions. Anyway, worst case scenario, I could live with the loss of $15. Admittedly, the 4 weeks I'd have to wait to get another one would be a bit disappointing. But either way, once I actually reprogram these things, I still have to go unscrew my ceiling fan and try to rewire it. And I hate doing that. Do you know that ball thing that goes in most ceiling fans?
Yes.
I find that annoying to deal with. I've installed ceiling fans before, and I avoid it because getting the thing in there and getting it up to the ceiling always drives me crazy.
Don't they have, like, okay.
Well, that and the fact that I'm not supposed to lift heavy things over my head. My doctor was a bit specific about that. Either way, I've been continuing iterating on my system. So I redid some of my light bulbs. And now I'm getting into, since one of the, I started removing things from the Wink by replacing them with either Zigbee, which I have good control over, or Wi-Fi. But I haven't figured out what to do with my door sensors, which are still Z-Wave. They're the ones who are still hooked up to the Wink.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for new door sensors. And since Wi-Fi seems to work fairly well, I might try that. I remember the thing you tried. You were telling me you wanted to do wired.
Yes.
The problem with wired is where would I would have to run the wires.
That is a problem with wires.
Not sure I really want to run wires all around the house. Although, admittedly, my doors aren't that far apart. I have, let's see. I have four doors on one side of the building that I need to secure and one door on the other side of the building. So the four that aren't that far apart, I probably could do fairly easily with wire, although it's still a pain in the neck. But I still need to find the right thing. So I've been looking at various sensors that might work. And if you have any advice or you come across a product like you have in the past, you should tell me.
You know what? I did run into some door sensors that you basically drilled into the door and into the
frame
and into the frame. And the door sensor itself was a little, one side was a magnet and the other side was about the size of a AA battery and about the shape too.
Do you remember the name of this? I'm prepared to look it up.
No, but I will find it and get it to you.
Let's see, invisible door sensors. Here's the Monoprice Z-Wave recessed door sensor. But again, that's back to Z-Wave.
Yeah, I don't remember the...
Yeah, a lot of them are all Z-Wave. And as I said, I'm not having very much luck with Z-Wave, although maybe I should try a different receiver. But I will continue to work on that.
There seem to be several Zigbee
wireless
door sensors.
I'm still curious if I could do Wi-Fi. Because as I said, Wi-Fi has actually worked.
Wi-Fi takes more battery, too, though.
Yeah, but in some places I'm close enough to an outlet.
Okay.
But here's one. The AI cluster Wi-Fi door and sensor magnet with a app. Now, the app, according to this, is the Smart Life app, which is the one that I just flashed replacement firmware on. Mm-hmm. Or actually, not. I flashed a different device that uses the same app. I don't know if that means that this might work. But I will probably continue to look. Now, if I did want to do soldering or construction, I could probably get myself a small board that could be powered off of a battery for a long period and just install a magnetic sensor on it.
You know, another option.
What's that?
You could call an alarm company and have them install an alarm in your house. And then cancel your service. And then replace the alarm board with one of those connected things.
Wouldn't that be somewhat dishonest? I'm not saying I couldn't do that, but wouldn't...
Well, keep in mind that they're going to ask you for a contract because to recoup their money that they spent on installing the system. You could ask them, how much for no contract? And they'll probably charge you something.
I suppose. And,
or they may just tell you, no, we don't do that. But they would install it nicely. They'd fish all the wires. And, I mean, maybe it's a reasonable price. Maybe it'll be worth what, you know, you want to do. And then you have everything wired to a central place. And the connected stuff hooks up via Wi-Fi. And you only have to power it at one spot. You don't have to run power all over your house. Just a thought.
I'll see. As you may notice, I do get fairly creative over time.
Yes, you do.
I'm the one who likes to find the, let's say the budget and, but yet not build it yourself type stuff. But we'll see. So that's what I've been working on. Now, to be honest, so far nobody's robbed my house, so I don't know. Does that make me more or less likely to worry about security?
I think they're irrelevant. Or not irrelevant, unrelated.
Okay, well, I did have some masked bandits lurking around the house at about 2:45 in the morning, according to my security camera.
Ooh, that's weird.
Yeah, two raccoons.
Oh, you rascally wabbit.
But that is the other option. Cameras. If I could hook into the camera feed, I could use the camera feed to detect when there's somebody moving around, and maybe I don't need to know when the door is open. There are other ways to check these things.
You could set a bottle on an upside down glass bottle on the door handle.
But I want to be able to monitor it remotely.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And then you don't get things like glass break sensors or. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I've been iterating over time. I'm much more secure than I used to be. So there's been some interesting developments in Android. For example, it's been a decade.
10 years, you say?
Oh, yes. You know that for many of those years, we've been here.
Yeah. Like all but, what, three of them?
Well, we started the show 8 years ago.
So all but two of them?
Basically.
Wow. And here we are.
Yep. Only two more years and we'll be celebrating our decade of doing this.
Wow. That's crazy talk.
We all need hobbies.
We do.
But 10 years ago, on October 22nd, they introduced the first version of the Android operating system with the T-Mobile G1 and launched the Android market, which was later became Google Play. And now apparently there are more than 2 billion active Android devices.
That's a lot. That's a lot, I say.
I'm not disagreeing with you. In other news, Google responded to a large ad fraud operation that utilized more than 125 Android apps.
Wow.
So apparently this company scooped up apps and companies from developers, connected them to a network of front and shell companies in Cyprus, Malta, British Virgin Islands, Croatia, Bulgaria, and more. Many of the affected apps were targeted to kids or teens. And apparently it had stolen hundreds of millions of dollars from brands whose ads were shown to bots instead of actual humans.
Are you familiar with any of these apps?
No, I did not see any.
I don't know any of these.
Well, again, maybe you're not in the... Well, for one, I don't really download games or flashlights.
But these were also...
I'm saying a lot of these word search free, word search movies. None of these seem like things that would appeal to me.
True enough.
Plumber Mania.
Ghost Detector.
I wonder what the money back guarantee on that one is.
I want... Something like Minesweeper Classic, I might have gotten. Minesweeper's kind of cool. Anyway, so yeah, that sucks.
So let's see what else we have here. Facebook announced
Although
their
it's worth noting that these 125 apps,
Yes.
they ended up stealing like, what was it, $10 million? And in the world of, global advertising, $10 million is like a drop in the bucket. So while 125 apps sounds like a lot, there are how many apps in the App Store?
A lot more than
And
that.
yeah, and $10 million is, I know it's a lot to an individual, but as far as advertising spend, not a lot.
Yeah, but it's still a massive operation of fraud. It may not be a, it may be a drop in the bucket and a small percentage of overall revenue, but that's still a big fraud.
It is.
So anyway, Facebook has announced their Messenger 4 update with a focus on simplicity.
Wow, are they taking away features?
That is what
Are they reducing advertising?
I
Is the
worry about.
file size any smaller?
Well, they do have Messenger Lite, but I have not seen whether or not this one, how that compares to their Lite product. Their Lite product is for people who don't want the large version. What I wonder is, are they going to get rid of the Lite product now that they claim that they've slimmed down their not so Lite product?
Well, keep in mind that they didn't say they slimmed it down. They said they simplified it.
Yeah.
It originally had 9 tabs,
Now it has
and now
three.
it has 3 tabs.
Yeah.
So they didn't say it was faster. They didn't say it was smaller. They didn't say it was lighter. They just said it was simpler.
Well, I look forward to hearing what else they're going to do.
It will not be installed on my phone.
Well, Messenger is one of the few things that I still have kept up from Facebook because I have not kept up visiting Facebook. That is just to keep in contact with a small group of people who refuse to be on anything else. We all make compromises. But my messenger is actually run through a messenger to IRC gateway, then through an IRC gateway to a IRC bouncer, and then to an, from an IRC bouncer to a command line interface, and from a command line interface relayed to my phone.
Well, goodness.
That reminds me, I have to upgrade that. So, Messages has added contact sharing. So, Messages is, of course, the SMS app. I don't actually use Messages. I have.
Interestingly, I did this just the other day.
What? You contact shared?
Shared a contact on Messages.
With who?
My realtor wanted the phone number of my builder.
Okay.
So I just sent him the, and it was over a text message. So I sent him the contact.
Yes,
I didn't even realize I could do it until I tried.
my builder was here, but I don't know if I'm sharing any contacts with him. I was trying to hire somebody to make a hole in my wall.
Ah.
Trying to solve my air conditioning problem. It's a little late in the season for it, though. It's 45 degrees outside. Anyway, the Google Camera app for Android Wear has been updated apparently with a viewfinder. Well, that's useful.
Well, I didn't even know I could do that.
Oh, I know I could do the shutter, but I haven't touched it in a while. So the app is basically a remote for your phone, which is sort of nice.
Neat.
Although when I go on really nice trips, I like to take a real camera. Real as in dedicated one. Otherwise, it kills my battery. Let's see. Apparently, for some people, Google News is using gigabytes of data. without their knowledge.
Isn't that crazy?
But I have that app installed, and I've never gotten gigabytes of data.
Have you? I know, and it seems to like kick off like suddenly. It's not like it's using, you know, hundreds of megabytes a day. No. It's using normal amounts of data, and then all of a sudden it starts using like gigabytes. It's crazy.
Yeah, but have you had this? Or?
No, I have not had this problem.
And I actually like the Google News app.
I do too, especially since it went dark.
Hopefully, if since, as I said, we haven't had the problem, but hopefully since there is a problem, hopefully somebody addresses it. By the way, according to mine, it's used 228 megabytes since July 27th.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so I'm not experiencing that problem. That's good. The Google Pixel 3 apparently is locking fast charging to various certified chargers. But apparently this is because their fast charging is not Qi compatible. Whereas if you use a standard Qi charger, it will just charge at Qi rates, not at fast Qi rates.
Yeah, this is, I don't know, man. This is kind of crazy.
I'm sort of, you know, I'm just thinking back to those days where I used to plug things into my phone. It would say unauthorized charger when it was a USB charger. I've never
seen that.
No, that was, they stopped doing that a long time ago. But it used to be that even that they would only, that if you didn't use an approved micro USB charger, then they would flash a message that it was an unauthorized charger.
Well, at least they're not completely turning off other chargers. They're well, just if you saying, notice,
they've said that their fast charging again requires special settings, and that they have had third parties who are going to implement it.
Really? I missed that part.
Well, if you read the article, there was an update to it.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Yeah.
So this is again from the article that I sent you, was from Ars Technica by Ron Amadio.
Right.
And if you look, Google responded and says that the Pixel 3 does not support 10-watt Qi charging. It supports 10-watt wireless charging and supports the Qi charging standard at 5 watts.
So, because that's what Qi is capped at.
Yes. So they're saying that if you want 10-watt wireless charging, you need a charger with what is called Google's proprietary wireless charging technology at 10 watts. So it is certifying chargers via the Made for Google program, and they pointed Ars Technica to one such device, which is manufactured by Belkin. So basically, if you want it, then you need one that's certified by them because it's their proprietary technology, but it will still work with the traditional charger. It'll just work slower.
I think I'm okay with slow wireless charging.
Well, so am I, but I find it especially interesting that they didn't clarify this earlier on.
Sure. So what Google is saying is, listen, we're not limiting anybody. We support Qi charging, and that's at 5 watts, and we'll do Qi charging at 5 watts. We also have our own proprietary stuff that will charge. We're not going to just do accept 10 watts from anybody.
Yeah,
you got to get certified.
Well, you saw that with bad USB-C cables where they were overloading devices and frying them, so I can understand why they're being cautious.
Sure.
So what else do we have here? Oh, yes, one more story. Google is upgrading Play Movies and TV programs that you've bought through that to 4K free of charge.
Cool. So anything you've already bought, if it becomes available in 4K, you will get it in 4K.
Yeah. Have you watched anything in 4K?
Just YouTube stuff.
Have you found it impressive compared to HD or what have you? No, the reason I'm asking is I've been trying to find a recording that really says to me, yay, you know, this really shows off 4K, like a reference recording.
No.
Reference recordings are really hard, though. Where you say, you know, something where you could say, okay, fine, I want to see this video in 1080 and I want to see it in 4K, and I want to really be able to say I can really see how much better it makes it. I'm not saying I don't have a television that I like the quality of. I'm just saying I would like to study this and do a side-by-side comparison.
All right.
Wouldn't you? Just for interest, not necessarily for professional study.
Well, I can say that when I change offices, I'm going to be building a new desktop. And I will be, my monitors will be 8K monitors.
What do you have? I'll be able, how many K are your monitors now?
They're 2160 by 1600. So 2K.
I feel like one of these days I have to come there just to see this setup.
They're not, I don't know, they're 30-inch monitors. And I'm going to replace, I have three 30-inch monitors and two 20-inch monitors in portrait.
No, I'm just saying I want to see you when you're sitting there and all the monitors are doing something. I'm just wondering, I just can't conceptualize what you do with all that real estate.
I can tell you that I can see none of my desktop right now.
Yeah, no, I know you're using it. Why would you have them if you didn't use them? I'm just saying, yeah. I cannot conceptualize how do you utilize that much real estate.
Okay.
That might be worth a trip to Jacksonville in itself. At the very least, we have to get together for the 10-year anniversary.
All right.
So any final thoughts on all of the topics that we discuss every week? Are you going to get yourself a Pixel 3?
The Pixel 3 is not getting, it's getting really mixed reviews.
But so is the Pixel 2 when it first came out.
I think the Pixel 2 was pretty much universally loved.
You're forgetting. People.
Oh, except for the display.
That's what I'm saying. People were talking about the display. Well, now people are talking about the notch.
Well, not just the notch, but speed. That it's not a fast phone. Not for the, specifically that the iPhone XS or XS, looks like an X to me, just thoroughly tromps its butt, just kicks its booty.
Well, we'll see what I get next. At the moment, I have a phone and it works. Doesn't have Pi, but it works.
All right.
Why don't I have Pi?
Because you're not on a Pixel phone?
But I have Android 1. It's supposed to get updates fast.
Well, sorry.
I'll survive. I think we're at the point where you could live with not having the latest version of Android.
Yep. Well, yeah, because the differences between them are subtle. They're not major capability differences.
Well, yeah. There aren't the game changers you used to get. There are a lot of nice things, but no game changers. So that brings us to the end of this week's episode. I will once again talk to you on Tuesday, October 30th,
2018. Yay! Let me go to my calendar for next week.
Yes.
Next week.
See, that's one of my future projects. I want to hook my calendar into my home automation system so that it will announce calendar events.
Mm-hmm.
I already have an announcing caller ID.
There we go.
Okay. So until next
time, we
will talk about all of the Android and home automation news that is fit to print. And maybe I'll be able to tell you whether or not I was able to flash new firmware on a fan controller. If not, I want to buy more of those switches that I figured out how to flash with the jumper cables. Because unlike the ones that have three buttons, which are nicer, they can actually fit into a multi-gang box. So I don't think that a $20 Wi-Fi switch that has 100% local control is such a bad thing. The way I've keyed it, when I turn off the lights, it automatically sends a signal to the system and turns on the under cabinet lighting. So that happens almost instantaneously. There's no lag now like there was when I was using Z-Wave or the Wink. which the Wink didn't have local control. So I had to basically send a signal to a web server somewhere and then to come back to my house. I think I want everything local. So until next week, I want to be back with yet another story. Good night, Jerry.
Good night.